and welcome to Incorruptible Mass. Our mission here is to help all of us transform state politics. We know that we can have state legislature and laws that support the needs of the vast majority of the residents of our beautiful state. So today we are talking about Governor Healey's 9C budget cuts. We'll dive into that. We're going to be talking about, how it affects our funding of all the programs that we need. We're going to be tying it to the Fair Share amendment that got passed. We'll be tying it to the tax cuts that they passed just recently. We will be talking about how, the downturn is affecting all of us and the state budget as well. We will be talking about the needs that the T has and where other places they could have put the money. So stay tuned. Before we do that, let me introduce my two lovely co-hosts. I will start. And thank you all for joining us in this new year. I will start with Jordan.
Jordan Burke Powers, he, him. I'm in Worcester, Massachusetts. And I am excited to be here in the new year.
And Jonathan.
Jonathan Cohn, he, him, his, been active in electoral and issue organizing in Massachusetts for a number of years and excited for all the great discussions we'll have in 2024.
Fantastic. I am Anna Callahan, she, her, coming at you from Medford. Very excited for this new year to dive into all of these political questions that rarely get any notice by the media and certainly never analysis by the media. So here we are. We are going to dive in and we're going to talk about the budget cuts that are called the 9C budget cuts. So before we get into 9C, Jordan, can you tell us what is being cut? And after that, we'll talk a little bit about 9C and legally sort of where that comes from.
Yeah. So just really quickly, so Mara Healey made $375 million in cuts, which means that they won't be spending the money that they had said that they will spend. And I think it's really important because that's a big number and you can't understand it. It's hard to just conceptualize that amount of money. So we wanted to just explain like what got cut, like what are the things that are gonna be taken away? And there's a lot of things that are gonna be taken away mostly from poor people, from people struggling, from our local communities. And it's real things. It's not just sort of made up money. So for example, if you were on Mass Health, that got the largest cut. If you get any sort of care through the Commonwealth Care Trust Fund, that got cut. And if you are a poor person and you get transitional aid for families, that got a huge cut. It got a $13 million cut. And the rationale for that cut is that the work that the legislature did to catch up, because it hadn't been raising it, and I think two decades, like 20 years, that because there was a 30% increase, they're going to cut it. But this is like aid to poor people that was so low that they were still not getting by. If you believe that childcare is too expensive in Massachusetts, the legislature and Mara Healey touted that they had given more money to childcare. Well, guess what? That $12 million got cut. $12 million got cut from that line item.
You love how they take the victory lap and then after they get the accolades, then they cut it.
Yep. If your kids are in extended learning time, that got cut. If you get supplemental security income, let's say you're an older person or you're a veteran, that got cut. If you drive on roads or take the T, the Massachusetts Transportation Trust Fund got cut. If you are a public employee or an employee that uses the GIC, the group insurance premium, that got cut. If you care about housing, the services to help people get housing support they need, that got cut. Emergency aid to elderly and disabled children, that got a $4 million cut. Community college success fund, a fund to help people succeed in community college, that got a $4 million fund cut. If you, the Massachusetts State Scholarship Fund, so if you go to higher ed and you, that got a $4 million cut. If you have home care of any sort, that got a $2.5 million cut, right? Et cetera, et cetera. And my favorite is the STEM Starter Academy. So something we clearly believe in. That also got a $2 million cut, almost cut in half. So again, like these are, it's it these the media loses the forest. I mean, it loses the trees through the forest. It will give you a big number. It'll say, oh, well, money didn't come in and we just cut some things. Like it's like no big deal. But it's a big deal. There's like things that really matter, mostly to people at the margins who are going to be hurt. And I think it's really important to remember that when we remember that the reason for this is tax cuts for rich people and poor people are getting hurt.
Before we get to the tax cuts for rich people, which we're going to real soon, the list is over 50 items long. So we barely touched the surface of these items that are being cut. But let's for a second, Jonathan, I'm hoping that you can give us a little explanation of what does Section 9C mean? When is it triggered? Why are these cuts happening now?
Yeah, so the 9C is a part of the Massachusetts general laws that says that considering that the state has the requirement of a balanced budget, that if revenue ends up coming in less than what the state's kind of than the state's promised expenditures, that the governor has the ability to unilaterally cut funding from different executive offices so that a balanced budget can be restored. I think one thing that's kind of timely and important to remember, we have no such provision that says that when the revenue comes below, it's time to eliminate or like pause any tax cuts. And like whether the recently passed tax cuts, whether it's any of the corporate tax incentive programs that we have, none of those ever get paused or cut because of the misalignment of revenue and spending. It's only kind of unilateral budget cuts.
Wow, that so I love how you're saying that, and that's fascinating that it, by law they can cut items from the services that we get in order to meet the budget. But they by law there's never an expectation that they will stop giving tax cuts to the wealthy because we can no longer meet our budget. It's wow, crazy. I mean, who would think of that if you weren't here to say it, Jonathan? So I want to just pause us for a second and just talk a little bit about the big picture that, sometimes people's eyes glaze over when we talk about the budget. We talk about line items and we talk about Section 9C, like all these sort of boring things. We do not get anything from our state and from our legislation and from our, entire state government if there's no funding. So the budget is the way that we fund any of the things that we want. It's the way that we fund education. It's the way that we fund our roads. It's the way that we fund, like there are, like anything that happens in the state requires there to be funding for it. Maybe that's obvious, but I just want to point it out and say, like, we have to get that funding from somewhere. And when that funding goes down, guess what? Cuts are made and those services are not provided. Jordan, I remember the last time we talked about like how to, we had one episode on how to fund everything. And there was a quote that you had in there that I just adored so much. You said basically, well, there's only one group of people that has all the money, and that's the wealthy. So if we want to know where to get the money from, that's the only people who've got it. And just dive into that just a little bit in terms of like, what did we just try to do in terms of getting some of this funding from the wealthy, and then what happened? Let's go walk through like fair share, tax
Yeah,
cuts for the
so
rich,
I think
cuts.
it's so Massachusetts is one of the most economically unequal places on earth, which means that there's a few people with almost all of our money and a lot of people who are struggling. And so I think it's really hard because a lot of us think of us as doing okay for us to fathom how much money has accumulated in the hands of very few people. It is more than you could possibly imagine or fathom. It is a lot of money, more than the Gilded Age, more than Marie Antoinette in France. Like you are talking, people are really have more money while you are struggling to get by.
I want to,
And
can I jump in for one second? I'm
yeah.
so sorry to interrupt you, but I just looked up Gini coefficients of every state in the United States, right? And the Gini coefficient is a measure, mathematical measurement of inequality. And wow, we are, it's hard to say what number we are because they're including Puerto Rico and, DC and stuff. But like we are, let's see, New York, DC, Connecticut, Louisiana, Mississippi, California, Florida, Massachusetts. So we are Very, very high
Ohio.
in the
They were one of the top.
inequality, one of the top 10 for sure, top 8 or something, in terms
Yeah,
of how unequal we are.
one of the most unequal places. And so not as a sort of a sort aside, like one of the things I've been joking about is, in Hallmark movies, it used to be that you would fall in love with somebody who had like earned being rich, but now you just marry somebody who already is rich, which is a real telling sign of how much it's unbelievable, even in Hallmark movies. Like you could believe all sorts of things, but not that you could earn your way into being rich. Like it's just so bad. And I really think it's really hard for people to imagine how bad, but it's really bad. And you're struggling and they're not. And so what we try to do is say, like, look, on every dollar you make over $1 million, you should just pay a higher tax rate. I think the other piece that's really important is that we also said that if you don't work for a living, you just earn money on your money, you should pay a higher rate of income than people who work for a living. And the state cut that the most. So not only did so we went to the ballot and we got you regular voters to agree to increase the amount of taxation on people who make more than $1 million on the dollar they make above them, not even up to $1 million, like up to $1 million. The next dollar they had to pay a small surcharge that they will never notice to pay for things like roads and bridges and schools and transportation. It was worth about $1 billion, and the legislature cut taxes for those people, almost geared towards those people, worth $1 billion. So here we are, we added money and they took it away again.
And
And I think and more and the way they did it in two ways is one for like focused on dead billionaires, but the other one was to say that if you earn money on your money, so you don't work, if you don't work, but you make money on the money you already have that you did not earn, you can pay the same rate now, or at least a lower rate than you used to, right? And I think that that's important to say also that that's the like how we got here. And so if we want to pay for things, there's a simple way to get at it. Sorry, Anna.
No, I just want to say one thing, which is, it's not like, hey, we put something on the ballot and passed it, and then they changed it, right? Then they undid it. It's like we
Yeah.
spent 8 years of organizing hundreds of thousands of
I spent
people,
13 years. Yeah.
13 years. I mean, the amount of effort that our side spent to get the Fair Share Amendment passed, and then within what, 6 months, they undid it?
Yes. A Democratic supermajority to give. Yeah, go ahead, John.
Oh, yeah, and what struck me so much when hearing different legislators talk about this is the kind of basic innumeracy that was present in legislators who didn't seem to acknowledge that if you've raised like $1 billion plus new revenue and then you cut $1 billion, that you're effectively negating it. Or even if those are all additive, the only way that it can be that new revenue can be additive is if you're cutting things elsewhere. And that inherently, and that it could, and that that all of the tax cuts effectively mean reduced spending somewhere, and that like that it's fascinating to watch that not fundamentally click for legislators.
Okay, this I love this because this I have my kid is 9, and I swear to God, I will be in a car with him and his friend in the back seat, and we'll talk about things like this. This wasn't one of those things, but this is exactly the kind of thing where you would say this out loud to a 9-year-old, and they would be like, "Well, that's obvious. Like, what idiot would not
Yeah.
be able to understand that if you add taxes and then you cut the same amount in taxes?" It's so frustrating. It seems like a
Yeah.
9-year-old would obviously understand that.
It's the most basic math. It's like saying that if I had 10 balls in this pile and then 10 balls in this pile and then I took away 10 balls, like
Great word problem.
and, right? It's like, no, you don't still have 20.
These people would not pass their MCAS.
Good tie-in.
Oh my God. Oh boy. So, Jonathan, talk to us a little bit about downturns.
Yeah, so one of the things that's especially problematic that I think there was or that this kind of augurs for the future is so last year during the debate about the tax package, One thing that a number of progressive advocates had pointed out is that cutting taxes then, particularly when a number of months we're seeing kind of below the forecast in revenue collection, that if that was happening, then that's like the worst possible time. There's no good time to give tax cuts for rich people. But that's an especially bad time because what that means is that as revenue collection falls, you'll be on less stable footing, and then you'll be having to cut things. And that was a point made. Legislators were largely ignoring it, and we've already seen, with an addition to the statement about the 9C cuts, that the governor's office is kind of revising the revenue projection for the next fiscal year. And you already see different legislators talk about, like, I think this, including, let's say, Speaker Ron Mariano, talk about the need for some belt tightening coming up. Which is, like, as we've already kind of been noting here, it's just insulting that if they've, after spending all of that time about the importance of reducing state revenue with the tax package, to say, oh, well, we have to do some belt tightening now.
Not there, it's not their stomachs.
It's like, do you know that meme about that goose chasing somebody and like yelling at them? Do you know the one that I'm talking about? That like I keep thinking about that. It was like when they're talking about these cuts, it's like, where did the money go? Where but like or like who cut that money? Like
Right. I mean, it's just like, it's just, and I think the other, I just also remind people that like when these cuts happened, before they happened, we had Max Page on from the MTA to talk about the thing that he cares a lot about, which is higher education. And he had a bill that could, for the cost of the dead billionaires tax cut, because again, no person who is alive benefits from the estate tax. Dead people. For the dead people who got that tax cut, we could provide all Massachusetts residents free higher ed education,
Oh my
public
God.
education. So, like,
This makes me
this
want to
is,
cry.
and it's like, and I think the other piece is because the media covers it like it's a one day event. They pass this thing, and then that's it. But those tax cuts are permanent. So every single year, that money that they passed for dead billionaires and for investors to get a tax cut, every single year, that revenue would be going to higher ed, to public transportation, to educating your kids, to helping the poor people who are now the target of cutting opportunities, right? Cutting money we're spending on them. So we are spending less money on you. If you have an after-school program, if you have any sort of insurance, if you care about driving or getting around the state, you are getting less money spent on you to facilitate permanent tax cuts for rich people.
Well, I'm hoping, Jordan, that you can also talk just a little bit about the fact that we've basically just cut budgets, cut, cut, cut. This is nothing new, right? That they're cutting parts of the budget. How
Right.
long
Because
has this
they,
been going on for?
yeah, I mean, so since 2004, and even before this, it's 1994, we've had a structural deficit. So, what is a structural deficit? I mean, that's a big word. If we spent all the money we're supposed to spend based on the laws that we've passed saying we want to help these people, want to do these things, if we spent all the money we're supposed to spend, we don't raise enough money in revenue to pay for those things. That's even without the fact that every single year they pass a bond bill, and a bond bill is borrowing. So it is money that is not in the budget that they're spending money that they're going to pay interest rates on. You get a credit card. And it's not like the federal government who can print money. So tax, so budget, so like deficits don't matter. Massachusetts can't print money. So deficits do matter. And so bond bill is another way. So now we're paying interest. So we're facilitating interest on past abilities to balance our budgets and pay for the things we want. And we don't bring in enough revenue. Deval Patrick said to me, so this is some time ago, that under his administration, because of all the tax cuts, we had passed tax cuts. We gave out in tax cuts more than we raised in revenue. which is depressing. I mean, just think about that. So we give rich people, corporations, other people occasionally money from the government. We give for free back to them, then we bring in. And so I don't know if that's still true. I haven't looked at that fact in a while, but like that's bad. It's really bad. And so if you are the legislature and you're the governor, you have some choices. You could raise taxes, but we just cut taxes, or you could cut poor people who we don't care about, who are invisible to us, who don't vote, who aren't a part of our lives, who aren't a part of our things, and we'll pay no political benefit from that because they're not just invisible to legislators. When was the last time NPR ran a report about a TANF cut? When was the last time NPR or the Boston Globe did an interview about the effects of cutting the GIC on regular people? When was the last time that Commonwealth Coalition frontlined, Commonwealth Magazine did a frontlining of a poor person who, needs the housing assistance, right? They're not talking to those people. They're invisible to the media. The media has on all the time these right-wing zealots who don't believe in any taxation. They have on all the time voices who are elite, who are in their circles, who go to college. Right? They're gonna be fine. Right? So it's like, yeah. So I just think it's really important that we have been cutting since 2004, and that's what happens is poor people get cut, and then we'll get a little bit of an increase. We'll put some money back, and then immediately something bad happens. Where did the cuts happen? They happen to poor people.
And let me comment that the fact that we are a vastly, like, highly unequal state with a really high inequality compared to other states, that ain't an accident, right? So it's not like, oh, we started off as a highly unequal state. Maybe we can do something about it. It's like we cut and cut and cut, as Jordan is saying. We cut all these programs for people who desperately need it, and then we give more and more tax cuts to the wealthy. That is how we become an unequal state. Jordan. I mean, Jonathan, can you talk to us a little bit about the T? Because this is another place that the state could have put funding and didn't.
Can do. So one thing, remember, as we were chatting before, and Jordan, if you remember who the folks who kind of issued that report were, there was a report that came out that about the need for about $2 billion that the T would need, and that over the years there have been a number of different numbers talking about how much if we wanted to actually deal with all of the repairs that the T needs.
That report came from the T.
What was that?
The 2 billion number comes from the T.
Oh, the T. That makes it easy. It is what they need to do their job. And that's like it's one thing that's kind of striking with there's been oh back during the Baker administration, there was always that discussion of having reform without revenue for the T. And the idea of reform without revenue is this kind of, let's say, generally false and toxic kind of neoliberal position that you also see with schools, where people think that problems can be solved simply by changing who's in charge. Or by like somehow the way in which Baker thought that you could fix the T by just letting the staff attrition over time, so there would be nobody left. So they, like as though somehow anything can improve if there are fewer people working on it. But any like these it kind of underscores whenever you talk to somebody, particularly in Greater Boston, one of their top priorities will be to like have a functioning public transit system. And whenever we see our lives, and there's such a disconnect between that very clear will from the voters and what we see out of the state house. Because although with the money dedicated from the fair share, there are important new investments that will be undermined by the tax cut expenditures. And like we need new money for that. It has to come from somewhere, particularly if we have a balanced budget requirement. And it's just a stunning disconnect, and it's a disservice to people across the entire region. And it also connects to the fact that like so few of the people in the state house like reliably even use public transit.
I think we are gonna close up here, but we want to remind you all that this is a kind of analysis and discussion that you hear almost nowhere else, and you can always donate to us. You could donate, it's just below, you'll see the link there, and that goes to our young and very talented team of folks that help us with graphics, with sound, with editing, with social media and all those things. So thank you all for listening. We have more guests coming up later this month, and we look forward to chatting with you all next week.